Blog Talk Radio.
I hate having to do that every so often, and it seems like more and more. In fact,
they just flashed
it up on the screen right here at the start of NXT UK.
Oh, let me put that on.
On his birthday. On his 60th birthday.
Oh, man.
Hey, death is inevitable. Death ain't the greatest thing in the world. But to go on your birthday, oh, my God. I can't imagine that.
I cannot imagine that, guys.
No. Me either. I mean, Sean gives me the call this morning and tells me, and my first thing is, okay, have we confirmed this? Obviously, because we always want to make sure that, you know, before we go spreading any news, that we've got exactly, Katie. And when
it
I saw, yeah, and when I saw, not only was it real, but I saw what today is. I mean, that hit. Something that we talked about last night, Kenny Garrett, Santana Garrett's dad. I almost hate to describe this because I'm starting to have a hard time just putting that picture back in my head and Katie, I know you're going to react when I tell you this. Sean's seen the picture. Santana posted on her Instagram earlier today. And it's a picture that was taken today in the hospital. Her holding her dad's hand. He's got tubes all through him. He had one leg out of the bed like he's trying to get up, because he wants to defeat this thing and that. But she even says she knows that it's probably his last days. And thankfully, I was in a public place when I saw the picture, or else I probably would have lost it. I think that was the only thing that was holding me together, looking at that picture of her holding her dad's hand through these last days, last hours of his life, and that seeing that on top of today, including a picture of his partner, Davey Boy's son, Davey Jr., with Tommy from this past June it all really hit me it's rough as heck. I'm gonna go ahead here. Bret Hart posted today, and he said, There are people in life that have a ripple effect both professionally and personally. Tom Dynamite Kid Billington was one of those people. The second professional wrestling match of my career was against Dynamite. I benefited from his greatness and through our matches in Stampede, WWE, and everywhere in between, I became a better wrestler because of him. Dynamite truly was the best wrestler ever, pound for pound. Tom was family, my brother-in-law, and we were very close. In many ways, I felt like one of the few people who truly knew him, both the good and the bad. So, one final time this past spring in England, and I can only hope that he is finally at peace. My thoughts are with his children, Brown, Merrick, and Amorous, and the entire Billington family.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna tap this out because there's some more tributes that have poured in. I shot a message across to our good friend Brian Blair, and he mentioned
they worked a lot of the same cards together, you know. They traveled together.
I'll tell you a story. Before I broke into the business, I went to a then WWF house show with one of my coworkers. Our good friend Chad Kopic was the ring announcer. Now, this was the time period that the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation were working a program. At that time, Jimmy Hart was the Hart Foundation's manager. They also had, as their stooge, crooked referee Danny Davis. So when Danny got introduced, he got booed like crazy. The Hart Foundation got booed like crazy. Then came the Bulldogs, and during that time period, they had their mascot, this bulldog Matilda, with
yes.
them. So as I'm calling this, Tommy picks up Matilda, sets her up on the ring apron. They climb up, they get into the ring, and all four of them are jaw jacking. And before you know it, they sick Matilda on both the Hart Foundation, Jimmy Hart, and Danny Davis, and oh my gosh, it was so funny.
It was always pretty epic when they'd set Matilda loose on someone.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can remember this one street I lived on, and down the way from us, a couple of doors down, was a little bulldog, and well, Darren and I were huge fans, of course. So yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whoa, look, Matilda. Yeah. I miss her. She was cool.
Well, yeah.
Darren loves a bulldog. Darren looks like a bulldog. So.
Well.
He's got a bulldog tattoo on his leg too.
Yeah. Well, it's odd because you know who actually spent a lot of the time caring for Matilda on the road?
Brett?
No. The Tonga Kid.
Aw.
Sam Fatu. And I've heard him tell some stories about Matilda that, oh, my God. let's put it this way. Matilda defined party animal. She tore up hotel room.
Oh, my God. Why am I not surprised? I'm really not. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably
Will Ospreay, who, of course, a lot of people know, one of the legendary wrestlers from England, and, of course, is well-known in Japan, said, "I heard news that Tommy Billington, also known as Dynamite Kid, had passed away. Thank you for all the work you've done for our country and inspiring so many wrestlers to take a chance on themselves. R.I.P. Dynamite Kid."
I was a huge fan of his. I loved them all bits, of course.
Yeah. Tyler Bate, who was the first NXT UK champion, gutted to hear about the passing of one of my heroes' biggest inspirations. All right, Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billing. There's an official post from the NWA. Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, the Dream.
Shane Helms, Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, I like this one. Kyle O'Reilly says, "Saddened to hear about the passing of Dynamite Kid. There was a time I watched every Dynamite match I could get my hands on, including this tribute video," and this is from his Twitter feed, "countless times. Despite many attempts of recreating his magic, I would never come close."
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy duty. Oh, solid words right there. And that, I like that. I like that.
All right. Well, we're gonna lighten up the mood now.
I don't know what you had in mind, but here we stand on opposing sides. Let's go to war. Let's go to war!
Wrestling Authority Radio with your host, Chaotic Katie, the voice, Paul Eubanks, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Lock and load, wrestling fans, it's time for war!
Welcome into the ER officially now. We just had to break up the little bit of sadness that was going on because it was starting to be a buzzkill.
It's going to be a buzzkill.
This is Wrestling Authority Radio. You're live in the ER. I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my two hosts.
The Dean of Wrestling Referee, Steve Kane.
And the reason why this show will never, ever be a bag of dicks, Chaotic Katie.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, better now. It's a shame that he died on his birthday. My thoughts and well wishes are out to the friends, family, and loved ones of Dynamite Kid. However, that is not all that we have to talk about tonight. There was something that I just sent the chat a little while ago that I want to talk about.
What was it?
What did I send?
I'm hunting.
Well, let's see here.
All right. You said you got a Dynamite Kid and some breaking news and Hot Topics.
Yeah.
Okay, where'd it happen to the breaking news?
Vince McMahon sold off more of his WWE stock. Last month he sold 306,000 shares of company stock, which he made $22,866,523.61 from the sale.
Hey man, that's some great grampers money. He needs his campers for his grampers.
Well,
McMahon diapers.
But let's put it this way: he's not left short. He still holds 31,887,375 shares of stock, and the current price of $73.59 per share. He has a combined value of $2.4 billion. Yes, billion with a B. Dollars. Now what he had done earlier, he had sold $100 million worth of shares in order to fund Alpha Entertainment, which is the company that he has created to back the XFL. And the belief is that McMahon sold this in order to help fund the XFL relaunch. And we'll go ahead and we'll go from there. For the host teams, the host cities for the XFL, which will be launching February 8th and 9th of 2020, a week after Super Bowl 63, there will be teams in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium, Arlington, Texas, at Globe Life Park, Houston, Texas, at TDECU Stadium. L.A. will have a team at the StubHub Center. St. Louis will have a team at the Dome of at America Center. There will be a team in Seattle at CenturyLink Field.
That's all right. Seattle gets a football. Well, I guess you'd call it a football team and a hockey team this week. Ooh.
Hey.
Hey.
There will be a team in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, home of the Buccaneers, and Washington D.C. at Audi Field.
Okay. Good to know.
Now, how is Vince using these fields if he is competing with the NFL?
Well, no, he will. No, they will be playing after the NFL season finishes.
Ah, okay.
The first weekend is February 8th and 9th. So the Super Bowl will be 7 days earlier on the first.
Gotcha.
Okay. On the first of what?
February
2019. 2020,
okay.
February 2020.
Right.
Achoo. And there is talk that Chicago could get a XFL team again.
Oh. Interesting.
Well, I mean, hey, we've had every expansion franchise, every wannabe expansion league franchise that has ever existed. When the World Hockey League was created, we had the Chicago Cougars. When the USFL Cougars.
The Chicago what? Cougars, okay.
Cougars. Yeah.
Oh, so a bunch of hot older women chasing around younger men. Oh, all right. I did not know that was a sport.
Oh, come
the man.
On. Cougars have been a sport for years.
True.
Actually, in fact, Actually, in fact, it's funny you say that because the minor league baseball team down the road about 20 minutes or so from my house, the Kane County Cougars.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Alrighty then.
Oh, we got her going over. But we have the Chicago Cougars from the World Hockey League. We have the Chicago Fire from the USFL. And I can't remember what the name of the Chicago team was with the XFL. The only thing I even remember about the XFL was He Hate Me and Brian Bosworth saying into a hot mic when they're to JR when they're supposed to be on commercials, "Sorry, I effed up that call."
It was the Chicago Enforcers.
Ah, okay. Oh. That shows you how memorable they were. I completely forgot what their name was.
Alrighty then.
Well, it seems that Fandango is currently training at the Performance Center for an in-ring return.
Oh, boy. Mm. Does that mean we're going back the fashion police?
Okay. I don't know.
Did they mention anything about Breezy?
No.
Well, that's fine with me. I'm not a Breezy fan.
Raw gets the lowest rating we found out yesterday in the lowest in the program's history. Like the lowest rating ever.
Sadness.
It pulled in a 2.262 in the first hour, 2.399 in the second hour.
Oh my.
And drops below 2.1 in the third hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's just pitiful. Pitiful.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody remember that song that James Blunt used to sing, "You're Beautiful"? Well, we've got a song for you, WWE.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, that song was big when one of my marriages was breaking up. So not crazy about that song.
Once you're drunk, I should be with you. I love that song. another one I love by him too is "Goodbye, My Lover."
But anyway, WWE, we're singing to you. Yes. Go ahead.
SmackDown also got hit this time.
With?
They also fell
under 2 million.
One of the
Yeah, yeah.
I will kick your ass.
Yeah.
They fell. They fell below 2 million. So SmackDown has fallen below 2 million, and Raw is falling below 2 million.
Oh,
what's
my
next,
my.
Vince?
I don't know, Vince.
Yeah, SmackDown, okay.
Get scary,
SmackDown
man.
Was number 10 in viewership on cable behind Curse of Oak Island, which I don't even know what that is.
Curse of Oak Island is...
Rachel Maddow Show, which is a news program on MSNBC.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson Tonight, which are both on Right Wing Fox. Last Word, which is also on MSNBC. Dan Graham Angle, which is another Right Wing Fox show. The Five.
All right.
Which is on Fox Sports. All In and Special Report.
Wow.
That's bad, guys. I mean, seriously. I mean, put it this way. We talked about last night with Raw that Raw was actually behind in viewership, behind Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty freaking sad, eh?
Yes, it is. It is absolutely freaking sad.
It's going to be behind Deal or No Deal in no time. And that just came back.
Yeah, this just came back
the other night.
So. I mean, it's pretty sad.
Like, people want to watch Hot Chicks for an entire show. You know, but I mean, like with Raw, you know, I understand it just because, well, it's 3 hours and it's a week. That is Raw. If I need to take a nap before something, that's sad as fuck. Will it fit in there, Ashley? Okay.
I'm getting more and more turned off by Raw. And SmackDown isn't doing much better. Because SmackDown is AJ Styles. And now we've got Daniel Bryan. And we've got the new Daniel Bryan. I didn't know there was anything wrong with the old Daniel Bryan. But we've got a new Daniel Bryan. And we're not supposed to like him, but I don't like him. I don't get it.
Well,
I don't get why.
I don't get why they're doing it either.
Why are you doing this with Daniel Bryan? I think it's the dumbest thing they've ever thought up. Okay, like, if it ain't fixed, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I guess something seems to be broke.
Well, here's the funny thing, guys. Okay, if you sit there and you listen to what he was saying during his Miz TV segment, where he's talking about being a vegetarian and yada, 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 and all this other stuff.
Whatever fucking bullshit,
Yeah. But you know what that was, guys?
We're sinners.
Yeah, right. Okay. Think back a few years prior.
Oh, man, what now? What are you making me think about, old man?
The only difference is right now nobody has shaved their heads.
Are you really going to compare this to
Daniel
Punk?
Bryan, huh?
No. It's nothing like Punk.
Yes. He is playing the vegan version of Straight Edge. I'm watching
vegan
this.
Straight Edge.
Yeah, exactly.
The Straight Edge Vegan.
Yeah, there you go. The Straight Edge Vegan. I love it.
No, man.
Hey, we'll make that a Twitter hashtag. Straight Edge Vegan.
This just reminds me of Scott Pilgrim versus the World with the vegan police and the vegan powers and the shit, you know? That's what it reminds me of as well. If you've seen Scott Pilgrim, you'll understand. If you haven't, I'm sorry. It's hard to explain. Yeah. Scott Pilgrim and vegan powers and vegan police. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
No, well, please. I want you to go there. Go there deeply.
That anything like a group of gay bottoms trying to access their gay power at once?
All at once. All at once. A mess bang, there ain't no need for you. Okay? Power. And only we get it. And only we get that. Back snapping around the world, baby.
Sign and snap.
Danny Cage, you would be proud of me right now with the face palm that I am doing.
Face palm away, daddy-o.
What other news can
vegan
we talk about?
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, okay?
Do we have to?
Before his dark match with The Miz, Bryan pointed out a young WWE fan who had a sign indicating it was his birthday. Bryan wasted no time in issuing a full heel press and said over the mic, "It's your birthday. Congratulations. You're stupid."
Congratulations, you're
people.
Stupid.
People who attended said the boos were roaring in as he insulted this young WWE fan. But Brian fixed it with a happy birthday chant afterward. So,
aww.
So here we go. You know, once again, hey.
You're correct.
That is one of the problems with the current environment. I mean, number one, okay, I do not approve of sitting there calling a kid stupid. All right?
I'll straight up, okay, and I know this for a fact because my mother called me stupid quite a bit. And if you tell a kid they're stupid long enough, they'll start believing it. And stupid stuff will start happening. And that's your own fault.
Right. But then to sit there and after it's all over, proceed to then, you know, kind of baby face up and that and lead a happy birthday chant. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. If you're gonna be a heel, you be a stinking heel, okay?
Be a heel. Don't switch.
In mid South, you know, and I know I'm going back showing how old school I really am.
Oh, you can do it.
In that, okay? Bill Watts, fine guys who were fought together. Outside of the ring. Okay. In Windy City, we had rules against if we caught within eyesight of each other as babies in heels, we had to yell at each other.
Yeah.
And me as a referee, I would have to be the guy that would say, hey, knock it off, you save it for the ring. You know, we had to play our roles almost 24/7. And I really, really miss those days at times. You know. I mean, you know, if you're going to be a heel, be a doggone heel.
Yeah, you see that was the one thing. You know, my dad, you know, after I finished watching wrestling, you know, he on a Saturday afternoon because he worked on Saturdays, right? He'd come in approximately, I don't know, half an hour to 15 minutes left of my show, and he'd be like, you know, they go for drinks after the match, right? And my mom just looks at my dad. You know what, Brian? You're a fucking asshole. Yeah, so. Just some of the things I say to my dad now. Sorry, Dad. I know more than you.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, I love this song. Thank you. I spoke to Joyce in the morning. I spoke to Joyce at night. I spoke to Joyce in the afternoon. It makes me feel all right. I spoke to Joyce.
That's 18 fucking joints. 18. I don't even think I smoked that in a day. 2 joints in the morning, 2 joints in the afternoon.
I didn't smoke that many cigarettes in a day. Jeez.
Yeah, that's 18 fucking joints. And you didn't, hey man, I was a serious smoker. I smoked a lot. A lot.
We won't talk about that. Well,
okay.
I have your weekly war rumor roundup.
Okay, give it to me.
And these are all of the rumor and innuendo going on.
Give it to
According
her.
According to
Give
PW,
it to her.
Stop it.
Give it to her, baby.
Give it to me, baby. And all the girls say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
According to PWI Insider, Roman Reigns was at Tribute to the Troops,
Insider.
Though it's unclear if he will be used on television.
Oh?
For that matter, Braun Strowman was also there, but they say he was at SmackDown for a time, too. So he may have been there getting checked out after elbow surgery to see about wrestling at TLC later this month.
Could be.
Yeah.
Undertaker.
That's in another week.
Undertaker, Michelle McCool, Maryse, Mark Henry, and Christian were all backstage at SmackDown Live this week, per PWI Insider.
Laughing.
With WWE mentioned, WWE Women's Tag Team titles on Raw this week, it leads to further speculations that said titles will be coming much sooner rather than later. And the last thing we already talked about, which was Fandango at the Performance Center preparing for his return.
Right, right.
So those are today's rumors.
I like Fandango.
So
we know that Reigns will not be back. If he's back already, that would be the biggest miracle to happen ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, somebody called Benny Hinn on that one.
Right.
Right? I don't even know what that means, but right?
And I.
What is that? I don't know what that means.
Benny Hinn was the TV evangelist.
Oh, that's Peter Popoff.
No.
Well,
Benny Hinn was the America version of Peter Popoff.
Okay,
Peter Popoff was actually American.
He's not Canadian, he's American.
Right. Well, Benny Hinn was actually Arabian by birth. I disclaimer here, I worked for the man many years ago. So,
I did not know that.
Are you healed?
Yeah. So please.
Are you healed?
Have you been healed?
I didn't get hurt until years after I'd worked for Benny. So. okay. But here's one. Scott Dawson of the Revival set up a petition.
Get us better
and
fucking spots and gigs.
And the petition, no, get this. The petition is to end Lucha House Rules. To suspend Lucha House Rules. Yes.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes. They
I don't
have,
know, I can't say they blame them. I'm getting annoyed with it just a little bit myself. Because it seems like the Revival. I like the Revival, and they're getting jobbed out. Just like we talk about anybody who gets brought up from NXT, they don't know what to do with them. And from the looks of it, they don't know what to do with Revival. Revival's a really great tag team. You know? I mean, I even hated them when they first came in, so they did their freaking job. So why are you treating them like they're second-class workers? You know?
Here's the actual petition.
Okay.
There isn't a better two-man unit on this planet than the Revival. Multiple match of the year matches and winning 2016's WWE match of the year. However, we've run into some struggles. 3-on-2 matches, even 3-on-1 matches. These handicapped affairs have been referred to as Lucha House Rules. How can we, as the Revival, absolute best tag team on this planet, Mercedes-Benz of the tag team division, measuring sticks, top guys, etc., live up to our name and continue to be an asset to Monday Night Raw, the WWE, sports entertainment, and professional wrestling in general if we're constantly fighting these unfair circumstances? This job is how we feed our families. I, Scott Dawson, 100% grade A Southern beef, 90 proof, 82 Ford Bronco, top guy, a perfect little 4-year-old daughter I have to provide and set an example for. How can I provide to the best of my abilities under loser house rules? What kind of example is being set for her when she sees her daddy getting beat by three men in math. Please take a second out of your day and sign this petition. For a betterment of tomorrow's sports entertainment. For the betterment of tomorrow's tag team wrestling. For the betterment of tomorrow's thank you. The Revival. Oh, it's hilarious. They've got like 60 comments in this thing. It's funny. It is just, I mean, this is absolutely hilarious. And you can actually sign the petition. There are currently 4,050
signatures. 4,050
signatures.
Oh,
and their goal was 1,000.
1,000.
And you can sign it. And you can sign it. You can either sign it direct, or you can sign it with Facebook, or sign it with Twitter. that's freaking great. I love it.
That is great.
Boy, has Cass put the weight on.
Really? Cass got fat?
Yeah, Cass got fat.
I like Big Cass.
Well, that's what happens when you're no longer getting paid WWE money, and you have to strap on what you get on the indies, and from there, go ahead, and with that, you wind up eating a lot of McDonald's.
I don't eat McDonald's yet.
Well, WWE is hyping an upcoming match on NXT, Punishment Martinez against Matt Riddle.
Oh,
which happened
Punishment
tonight.
Martinez.
That was on tonight's NXT.
I didn't see it.
We will not discuss it, but he was there, and they hyped this match, and Danny Cage is very proud of Punishment Martinez.
Punishment Martinez. Oh, come on, man. He's yummy. He is. If they play their cards right, it's next Undertaker. I don't care what anybody says. He should do it. He's creepy as fuck. He's dark.
Eric Bischoff discusses the legacy of the Attitude Era.
All right.
His thoughts about working with Eugene. I didn't have a lot of thoughts about it. I loved working with Nick Densmore, very talented guy and an easy person to work with, and a great performer. I didn't really think the storyline was that powerful. I don't think it was that successful. I think it was a little too hard to believe and a little bit too contrived. There's a line...
Contrived.
There's a line, and when you cross it, it becomes entertaining but not compelling. Attitude Era.
Okay.
For me, it was the weak peak of my career, so naturally I'm going to look favorably on that era. But I think what's interesting about wrestling fans is that they are generational. I will go to an appearance, and I will have somebody older than me come up to me and say, oh, I remember watching you with my kids. And the kids that are now 30 or 35 come up to me and say, I used to watch you with my dad. I think wrestling fans, more than any fans, are generational and very loyal. And it's a family viewing experience. It just amazes me that so many people still want to speak about that era. That's why my podcast, that's what my podcast is all about. That era and how it developed into so much more of what we see today. Creation of the Elimination Chamber. While I hate to burst your bubble, Laps, I had nothing to do with the creation of that thing. That was all Triple H. So Triple, there you go. The Elimination Chamber was Triple H's idea.
Yeah. But yet in folklore, Bischoff was given credit for it.
Well, but remember, these were the days where Vince still had more power than what Paul had at that time. Paul didn't have any power at that time.
That's
so
true.
They needed to keep it known that it, or they needed to put it on somebody. What greater way to have the evil Raw GM come up with this evil concept of a barbaric match to put six
right.
guys in? And that's what they did. And it worked.
Right.
And one of my favorite matches that comes around is the Elimination Chamber. There's been a lot of them. Some of the early ones were some of the better ones. I'll agree to that. The new Elimination Chamber is cheesy. It's kind of like the new Hell in a Cell looks cheesy.
I don't like the new Hell in a Cell. It looks like shit. It does.
Yeah.
And the steel cages look the same way. Does anybody remember? I know Steve will. Katie, do you remember the old blue bar steel cage?
Yeah, the ones that Hulk Hogan was able to climb with his big ass yellow boots. Yep. ugly blue shark cage. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those big clunky things. Yeah, I remember them.
Those were some of my more favorite cages. They were easier to climb in and out of. They were easier to see. Because when they started using the mesh, it was, if you go to a show live and it's a mesh cage, it's hard to see. But if it's the blue bar cage, then there's more squares.
Yeah, right. But it also eliminated the, you know, the idea of the danger of a cage.
That's actually, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
You know,
I like both of them.
The fence thing, especially because, you know, some of the edges of the fence pieces stuck out a little bit, so it made it look like, you know, a guy could actually, you know, either get his eye tap or his forehead ripped. That's why a lot of the, you know, cage matches, and I did my share of them over the years, had a lot of blood in them, because we made that impression that the guys, you know, that the guy's head was ripping
gashed open,
and, you know, against that cage, and that.
All right, you've got to. And then we've seen some variations of different cage matches. The Six Sides of Steel. What was that other one that TNA did? The Terror Dome or some shit like that, where it was a circle and you had to climb out in the middle.
Right. Basically a Thunderdome type thing.
And where who originated the Thunderdome?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure Steve will remember this, but one of the stupidest cage matches that was ever created was this cage in 1991. WCW's Chamber of Horrors.
Oh my God, yes.
I don't remember it.
Where they forgot which part of the cage was electrified and which part wasn't.
Oh,
and
shit.
All the other
an
nonsense, like
wall of a cage. Oh my God,
well, allegedly,
I'm gonna send you a video, Katie.
Except it wasn't actually electrified. They used sound effects in that, and then the tech guys forgot which sections were supposed to be electrified, so that they could go ahead and make the, you know, hit the proper sound effects so that the guy would jolt and that, like, he, you know, I mean.
It was one of the most comedic things that I think I've ever seen in my life. Because it was one of those things. The whole point of the match is you had to get your opponent, one member of the team, of your opposing team, into this little shark cage that had an electric chair in it, strap the guy to the electric chair, and then go over and pull the knob on the electric chair.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole idea was to electrocute your opponent, basically more or less execute him.
It ended up being Abdullah that got electrified.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of Abby's final WCW appearances, too. It wasn't long after that he was gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this this was one that we saw. My favorite one came at, let me see if I can pull this up, what they officially call this. WCW Uncensored.
Well, 95. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, I'm going to make a quick plug for the 19th. Let me make sure I got my dates correct here. Come on, calendar, pop up here, duck on you. All right, if we got to do it this way, I'll do it. There we go, yes. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, on December 19th, direct from Sin City and Ring Warriors, which can be seen every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on WGN America, we will have the team of Francisco Chiazzo, AJ Genazzo, the Slampinos.
Hey.
And you better show up. And you better show up if you value your health. Because they're going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Well, I guess they just considered this a three-tier cage match. It's from 1995. It's Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage competing in a three-tier steel cage match against eight opponents looking to end Hulkamania.
Okay.
Basically, you had to fight your way up and then back down.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the way it went. You remember this, Steve? Where they had...
Barely. That was another dumb one. I mean, I loved WCW to death, but boy, some of their creative concepts were just absolutely the pits.
Absolutely. Just stupid. And I don't use the word stupid often. That's stupid.
Yeah. I think Ric Flair was in this. Arn Anderson was in this. Bunch of others.
Nick Flair and Archivist.
They build it as the Mega Powers against the Alliance to end Hulkamania. Because WCW was trying to ride on WWE's coattails big time at that point.
Sounds lit.
I wasn't old enough and haven't watched it in a really long time to don't know that I would go back and see it in a different light. I liked it, but I wasn't in the business. I was like 5 or 6 years old when I saw it. So it was kind of cool. You had three cages on top of each other and you had to fight your way. You either started at the top and worked your way down or started at the top and worked your way up. And at the top,
you can start at the bottom and work your way up.
Yeah.
You can't start at the top and work your way up, Sean. Come on.
Sure you can.
Why not? It could happen.
So that's kind of the sum of the stupid cage matches that we've seen. And if he was at NGPW WCW Collision event in North Korea in 1995. Not only did I go, but I was instrumental in putting that trip together. It was one of the most surreal experiences that I ever had. I don't know if either of you have been out of the country, but the first time I stepped foot out of the country, I was in high school. Now I spoke German. So that's why I went over there. I was part of a student exchange program. When I went to Germany, things were different. But for the most part, I can make my way around pretty easily. When you go to North Korea, nothing is like anything you have ever experienced before in your life. Geography is red and dry, and you can't understand the language or the street signs. And on top of that, you're surrounded by a country of people that actually hate you.
Oh.
Seeing North Korea. We had security with us all the time. But not really being mindful of the situation, I got up and went out for a 6-mile hike. The people in the area were all walking to work, and they had never laid eyes on an American. For three generations, the children in school have been taught that American men will rape their women, eat their children, and murder their village. That's how they look at us, like monsters. So when I went running, I saw a lot of scared North Koreans. When I got back to my hotel, my security person read me the riot act.
At that.
Yeah, well deserved. Well deserved.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Sean, we'd mentioned The Undertaker. Lillian Garcia on her Chasing Glory podcast recently had Aleister Black on.
Uh-huh.
And Aleister is getting some comparisons to him. So Aleister really kind of...
Aleister's getting compared to Taker?
Yes.
Hmm.
I mean, after all, you got the fog, the metal music, he comes rising up out of the floor, all that kind of stuff. And the candles on the entrance video
and
everything.
And he's a redhead.
And
he's a redhead.
Yeah, with a ton of tattoos.
Yeah.
So, but what he says, so I understand people think that because there's a certain element of me that has darkness, but there's only one Undertaker, and I could never, never fill that void. And there's only one Aleister Black, and I'm the first one. There will never be a second one. The legacy that Undertaker has made is, I don't even know how to put it in words. He changed the landscape. Is Undertaker indirectly responsible for Aleister Black? Sure, because he opened the door for darker characters. He was the first one to really take it to that level and allowed an audience to see something that wasn't so clean and cut. And then he goes on, he talks about how his relationship with his father plays into the Aleister Black presentation. Yeah, he mentions that when he was 13, his dad had a complete emotional breakdown. And his dad was got in depression for 5 years. Growing up with me, my dad was the Terminator. A lot of fear came from my dad. My dad never meant to. That's first and foremost. It was very difficult, and I get that. But once I understood why he was the way he was, and I say was because he's no longer that way, it started getting better. And there goes into a whole explanation of it. Again, it says his dad was brought up in a certain manner, which I don't feel comfortable talking about, but he grew up in a manner where he was told for a long period of time, men are here to work, women are here to give birth. That's it. Men don't cry. Men don't hug. Men are not involved. He was programmed to do one thing. He already rebelled against that system. He ran away from home when he was 15 because he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't deal with what his parents wanted. I often say my character has references to the devil, and it's more in the sense of Paradise Lost when you see everything from the perspective of the devil, and there's a poem. The baseline of the poem is, when the devil fell from earth, what did he do? And so on and so forth. It's quite a interesting piece. It can be found with our friend with our friend Ben Jordan Kern at WrestlingNewsSource.com. So if you want to go ahead and read the full thing, it's there. And of course, you can actually hear it by finding Lillian Garcia's Chasing Glory podcast, which I believe is available on iTunes.
Yes. All right, it is song break time. We'll be right back in about 4 to 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Wrestling Authority Radio on Evolution Radio Network.
And Hi there. So you want to get into professional wrestling, but you just don't know how to do it? Well, I can show you how. All you have to do is dial 1-976-RASSLER. That's 1-976-RASSLER. I'll teach you the ins and outs, the ups and downs, everything you need so that you can just explode onto the wrestling scene. Just remember that number. It's 1-976-RASSLER. That's 1-976-RASSLER. Make sure you call today. I'll be waiting for you. Calls to 1-976-RASSLER are $29.95 per second. All major credit cards are accepted.
Yeah, thanks for playing Punk Rock Girl by the C-Tars. That was cool. Thanks, man. Local Torontonian band. Yeah, man, I went and saw them and got a concussion in the mosh pit. I did, man. Three fucking jackasses threw me up on stage and my face landed off a speaker and I stayed so, like, seriously, I did, okay, you see the stage dive, everybody sees the stage dive, I did a swan dive off the fucking, off the stage, and yeah, I was all elbows and knees, I went home with teeth marks on my left elbow, my right fist, left fist and right knee, yeah, and I had teeth marks on my boots. That was cool. But yeah, I had a fucking concussion. Big time. I was drunk that night, too. Fuck, I was rip-roaring drunk.
I don't think Steve's back yet.
Oh, well. Fuck it. We don't need Steve.
All right. Well, it seems that some people have made my shit list again.
Again? Play the song. Where's the song? Why don't you have it? Do I have to find it?
Chip, you know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no.
All right, here we go.
Begin. It seems that somebody that I may have crossed paths with, that Steve Kane may have crossed paths with, that even Big Daddy may have crossed paths with, is mimicking some of the opinions of myself in this podcast. And
anybody mimic me?
Some of the other things that have been said by myself or others on this podcast. Because now we have a person by the name of AvidFan101 running around creating chaos on a message board that I vowed to stay the hell off of.
That sucks ass.
Yes. And we cannot figure out who it is. So, AvidFan, just stop your shit. That's all you got to do is stop your shit. We'll be cool, but stop, let the shit die. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, are you back yet?
Mm-hmm, Steve.
Showing one Steve gain.
Guess not.
Okay. Well, we'll keep this rolling then. Because they have said some things that have mimicked some things that I have said to make people think that it's me, to make people think that it's Steve Kane, to make people even think that it's Crime Fighter.
Well, you gotta get extra money to be Crime Fighter.
I don't know who it is, but it needs to stop. Because, believe it or not, shit was starting to die down before all of this chaos started on that message board again. We posted our show info a couple weeks ago. Everybody left us alone. And then it ended up on CPW and everything blew the fuck up. Sometimes as a promoter, you can't win for losing. But we're going to get to the bottom of this, hopefully, and there will be repercussions for it because I don't appreciate it. It's creating headaches that I don't want to have to deal with. And going to stir more trouble for this radio show that's already been stirred from people like Eastman and all of them people. And it's just going to create more problems from people like that. So I would appreciate it if you would just stop.
Mm-hmm. Just stop.
Steve, you might want to call back in.
Redial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to refresh my call, too. I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. They're like, left me here all by myself again. I hate when they do this. Assholes. But yeah, you wanna cause shit for our show, go ahead. You act like it's the first time it's been done. Lots of people have done it. And yeah, I want that Gerald Dixon Walking Dead thing. Yeah. Okay.
I'm back.
You're real.
There's always
lucky.
Someone, isn't there?
Always
okay,
someone.
Billy, there's an echo. Hold on. Echo. Okay, it's gone.
Echo.
Echo?
Nope.
All right. Well, I cannot play an audio clip until Steve King gets back. Because when he called out... could you find me Wall? Just type in the search box Wall.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Break the walls down, Jericho's beam, or
no, the other one.
God is my witness, I will put you through that fucking wall. We're outside, genius. There is no wall. Then I will build one, and I will fucking put you through it.
Would you please stop screaming in front of the entire neighborhood?
Don't worry, I didn't hear anything. I heard, but I didn't understand it. Sorry, Susan, but your son is no good. You're not man enough to live up to your agreement, so Bill gets to go to the game. That's final. He's a man. He finished all his homework.
I didn't have any.
Shut up and get in the car.
Shut up and get in the car.
I need to clip that. But, yeah, that's how I am feeling right now about about this Avid fan. If there is not a wall... I will build one, and I will fucking put you through it.
I will put you through that fucking wall.
All in all, he's just another brick in the wall.
All
Go
right,
ahead,
Steve.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
I can hear you now.
Loud and clear.
All right. There we go.
The floor is all yours.
All right. Well, well, Conan.
Hold on, Steve. Before we go anywhere else, I was just laying the law down that whoever Avid fan is, if they're listening to this show, the shit needs to stop.
I want mine.
Yeah.
Because it's creating chaos for you and I that we don't need.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, we don't need your chaos.
And Steve and I have vowed off that board for an eternity. I don't care about it. I don't want to be on it. I don't want my show's information on it. It got posted there. I don't. No.
That board died about 6-7 years ago.
And I was playing this
for probably about 9 years.
And I was playing this clip to say what I would do to the person or persons responsible for Avid Fan.
Wait, for as God is my witness, I will push you through that fucking wall.
We're outside, genius. There is no wall.
Then I will build one, and I will fucking put you through it.
Would you please?
Because that's how Steve and I feel right now. And Steve doesn't. And Steve doesn't cut. That's how we feel right now. We will put you through the damn wall if we find you. Shut up. Keep your mouth shut. If you're a supporter of our product, that's great. If you're not a supporter of other products, that's fine. Leave their shit alone. Don't create chaos and direct it our way. Because we don't want the chaos. We don't want it. And we said that it's going to create more problems with people like Eastman and a guy by the name of Mad Mark and other people that we don't want nothing to do with.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I left it at that. Avid Fan 101, I have these final words for you. And if Katie gets a clip before I do.
What?
I got it.
Shut your cake hole?
You need to shut the fuck up.
It's what needs to happen, exactly. Avid Fan. It really is. It's what needs to happen.
The fuck up.
No bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to create something in the Illinois Valley. We don't need people demolishing what we're trying to build in the Illinois Valley.
So, with that being said, go ahead on about Conan.
Yeah, go on about Conan. I want to hear.
Well, Conan has taken
what
to
the
Twitter.
Fuck?
What the fuck?
Sorry.
What?
Sorry, my headset dinged in my ear, and I freaked out for a minute. I thought I dropped my caller. It was recalling.
And his take on what WWE is currently doing with Bobby Lashley.
Uh-oh.
Especially that pose. He says, guy can talk, can work. Great look. MMA background. He should be groomed for Lesnar. Point, period, end of story. Hashtag ridiculous. Wrestling Inc. posted the picture of Lashley doing his fully dressed moon pose Monday night and had on it, don't do it. Don't. He did it. To which MVP replied, why?
I love MVP. Miss MVP. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Montel Vontavious Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have some other news to talk about, too. In the grand scheme of things. It seems that we are finally going to see the iconic battle between Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus.
Oh, jeez.
And where will this go down? Well, it's all going to go down on the...
Bieber.
Bieber and Miley Cyrus. Hold on a second. Bieber and Miley Cyrus are doing what now? For how many cookies?
We're going to see the showdown between Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. And you know where this is all going to go down?
Where?
Celebrity Deathmatch is returning to
Celebrity
MTV.
Celebrity Deathmatch, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Bieber, Miley Cyrus, and Celebrity Deathmatch. That cartoon claymation, whatever the hell it was, thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Worse animation than Robot Chicken?
Hey, I loved that show. That show
I
was
Robot
freaking...
Chicken, okay? I'm not even putting down Robot Chicken, but it had shitty animation.
Not Robot Chicken, Celebrity Deathmatch. I loved it.
Okay, Celebrity Deathmatch was hilarious sometimes. I'll agree with you.
I'm fucking
so
love
Foxy
that
boxing.
Show.
So was Foxy Boxing.
The woman with the ironclad panties.
Yeah. All right, Billy.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
that
actually,
was...
But actually, you... Legendary boxing referee Mills Lane as their official.
Yes. That show is
I am convinced Mills Lane must have been paid a ton of money. I mean, a serious ton of money to put himself through that.
I'm sure he got a good hefty chunk for it, but it is coming back, and Ice Cube.
Okay, Ice Cube, not Ice
yeah,
Cube.
Yeah, get the right ice.
Get your ice straightened out.
Ice Cube is going to be producing it and all of that, so we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. I would very much like to see, like, Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey in a celebrity deathmatch ring and see what happens.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, except
I don't know
if copyright restrictions would allow them to do that.
Well, you got to remember, they co-promoted with celebrity deathmatch, although that was when during the time that they were trying to land heat on that network.
Because
they did some crossover stuff with WWE, with Vince and Austin a couple times. And I think even Mankind, too, if I remember correctly. But they did some crossover stuff. It was pretty funny. Austin killing Vince McMahon in the ring.
Yeah, I remember all those. Those were fucked up.
That was some good shit. I wish I had the original couple seasons of that, or however many seasons there were on DVD. That's what they need to redo if they're going to release that, relaunch that. They need to put out all the seasons on DVD so you can buy them. Because I would buy.
I'm surprised they actually haven't.
I am too, because that was a.
Let me look that up.
I think you can find a few episodes on YouTube.
Could be.
I think I saw one or two of them.
I saw a few.
Oh, that's funny. It's the first thing that pops up when you start as far as typing into Google. Let's see here. Shopping. Okay.
Shocking.
Let's see what they got. No, not shocking, Billy. Shopping.
Oh,
shopping.
Yeah,
sorry.
Actually, Sean, they do.
Huh. All right, Billy, we're going to have to mute you because
there's
an echo coming
there's
through.
There's even an Xbox game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course it's
I would play that if the controls weren't too hard.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
It's from a place called eCrater DVD store. $24.99, free shipping, no taxes.
Might have to get that. I might have to pick that up. I know I had to do that with Daria when I wanted it until they finally released that, and I let my friend borrow that and have never seen it again.
Yeah, it's a five DVD set.
That ain't bad for $25. For the wrestling fan in your life, pick up Celebrity Deathmatch, all 6 seasons. Get them ready for the next season that'll be probably coming your way sometime in 2019, if all goes right.
Yep.
We have talked about the XFL. We have talked about the WWE. We have talked about this and that.
Well, let's talk about MLW for a moment.
Okay.
That's fine.
Because MLW is... going to have a show next Thursday, the 13th, in Miami at the Scottish Rite Temple. And it's going to actually have a match that would be probably considered a Impact dream match, except Impact hasn't bothered to put this match out there.
Okay.
Andrew Everett versus Desmond Xavier.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
What?
Yeah. The entire card
that
for that night is, it looks really good. You have Andrew Everett versus Desmond Xavier, DJZ versus Hijo de LA Park, presented by
okay.
Selena De La Renta. Dragon Lee versus Rich Swann. No Holds Barred fight. And this shows you it's been a while since I've watched MLW. The last time I watched, these two were part of the same stable, but now apparently they're not, and they're facing each other. Filthy Tom Lawler against Simon Gotch. Rush versus Shane Swerve Strickland, a.k.a. Killshot. Falls Count Anywhere. Sammy Callahan versus L.A. Park, presented by Selena De La Renta. And Pentagon Jr. versus Teddy Hart.
So, nice.
And that's going to be on the 13th. On Saturday the 15th, SICW, and in fact, Herb Simmons will be on next week to talk about this.
Good.
We'll be doing what will be a tribute show for his dear friend, the late, great Larry Matisik, which is also going to include cage matches.
Yes.
So, I have to make sure that we get the number back over to Herb. He must not have saved it in his phone, but for sure Herb Simmons will be on with us next week. And again, the following week, the Slambinos, Kiyoko and Janazzo will be here.
Cool.
For sure, the two of them don't know about their manager, whether he'll make it or not. If he does, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because their manager is a guy that used to go by the name of Disco Inferno.
I love
who
Disco
I've
Inferno.
Worked with. I worked with Disco Inferno.
Disco Fever. Disco
oh, God,
fever.
Don't get it in my head.
Disco Fever. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, man,
oh,
I
God.
Love you. Disco Fever. Hey, man.
Whoever
I
came
like
up with that theme song, who I think was Jimmy Hart, needs
Jimmy,
to be given.
Jimmy did most of the WCW music at that point.
I mean, it one of the most outlandish songs you could ever come up with for a guy.
Me 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 me. That's the most outlandish song. Me 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 only me 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 me. Me, 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 only me, me. It's your fault. That's in my head. And that's why I disco fevered you.
Oh, seriously, guys. You're good.
I love it, though.
Me, 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 only me, 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 sexy me, 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 only me, 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 sexy me, 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 me.
My fault. I started it. It's not my fault.
Well, yep, she will be a part of RWF Rebellion Rising on Saturday night, June the 1st. Her opponent.
Who?
Lainey Luck.
So cool.
Paloma Starr versus Lainey Luck.
Oh, my God. I was in the grocery store with Darren the other day, and I saw a bottle of Sriracha, and I looked at Darren, and I said, we call Paloma Starr the Sriracha Machacha. She has a Sriracha onesie, and he just looked at me, and he goes, no, that's fucking cool. Yeah, the Sriracha Machacha.
And she brings a little bottle of Sriracha to my... She brings a little bottle of Sriracha to the ring with her.
Yeah. I love her all the bit. She's great.
We know that because Phoebe accidentally ingested it at the last show. She got to the back.
Yeah.
She was like, I didn't expect to swallow the Sriracha. I was like, oh my God.
Sriracha.
She didn't have any water or anything. She worked the whole match. Oh, that poor thing.
The Sriracha, it gotcha.
Yeah, it did.
Hey, I know to be careful with that.
We've got some great matches signed for Rebellion Rising, your main event of the evening. Filth King Brubaker one-on-one with the resident rock star of the RWF, the Rocker Rebel, Diamond Steel. It's at the VFW in Pontiac, Illinois, Saturday night, June 1st. It's RWF Rebellion Rising. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/RWF Pro for more info and to get your tickets now. This is a limited seating event, 60 front row, 170 general admission. When they're gone, they're gone.
Yep. So,
this will also feature the icons of the Illinois Valley inductions that we talked about last night with C-Red. And we will be talking about soon in upcoming weeks with Mr. Curtis Wilde and Sin. So, got to be there to be a part of it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And so, we've got some great matches lined up for the fans in the Illinois Valley area. When Sean and I, in fact, even while Sean and I have been working on these shows, we've also been working on that show. So, it's kind of taken up a lot of our time.
Yeah,
you know,
but
throw in having to do real life, especially considering that it is the holiday season and that, it's sometimes a wonder that I can actually stay awake long enough to do a 2-hour show at this point.
Mm-hmm. You can do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else for tonight?
I think we have pretty much covered
it. Cover it.
All right, so. And that does it. Good night.
So,
all right.
Hey, Katie, tell them what time it is.
Well, folks, you know what time it is. You don't have to go home. I'm sure so I can't stay here. Good night.
Good night.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. another beginning's end.